Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
His glorious resurrection from the dead. And then after having celebrated the Feast of Pascha, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we commemorate those 40 days. We live for 40 days like the apostles. We greet each other with Christ is risen. Indeed, he is risen. Surely this is what the apostles did. What else could they have done? After Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, surely when they saw one another, all they could think of with joy was, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And so for that 40 days between the Pascha and the Ascension, we live through that same experience with the disciples. And we celebrated the Ascension. We participated in that event with the Lord's apostles, where they saw his ascension into the heavens and his being enthroned at the right hand of the Father. And his final words to them were, stay in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. And so, like the apostles, we waited for 10 days from the Feast of the Ascension until the Feast of Pentecost, where once again, by the grace of God and by the services of the church, we were privileged to be present at Pentecost. We weren't just remembering Pentecost, we were present at Pentecost. And the same Holy Spirit that descended upon the apostles and made them, instead of being afraid, made them to be courageous preachers of the word, the same Holy Spirit descends on us. And so, last Sunday, the week after Pentecost, we celebrated the Feast of All the Saints. We talked a little bit about that. All the saints being those who are the fruit of the descent of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has descended, has come into the world, has manifested himself, was sent by Jesus Christ from the Father, and the work of the Holy Spirit is the production of saints. And so today we celebrate the Feast of the Saints of North America. It comes the Sunday after All the Saints. It's a custom that we inherited from the Russian Orthodox Church. The Russians commemorate on this day All the Saints of Russia, obviously. For us, we celebrate the Feast of All the Saints of America. Because again, the saints of Christ are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And there has never been a time in history, and there has never been a place where the gospel was preached, where saints were not produced by the grace of the Holy Spirit. And so we commemorate that day. Those saints, St. Herman of Alaska is on the wall back there. But we have all these other St. Innocent and St. Juvenal the Martyr and St. Peter the Aleut the Martyr and many, many others. And even saints that we don't know about have not yet been revealed by God, who are nevertheless living witnesses to the fact that the Holy Spirit continues to live and to act and to work within the church from the day of Pentecost until now. And on this day of the saints of North America, it is appointed that we read from the Gospel of St. Matthew, where we have this passage where Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he sees Peter and Andrew, his brother, fishing. And he says to them, come and follow me, I will make you fishers of men. They're not unacquainted with Jesus at this point. They'd already met him once before, because they were originally disciples of John the Baptist. And before John the Baptist had been thrown in prison, he pointed out Jesus, and he says, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And so they went and followed him at that point, and they stayed with him one day and heard his teachings. But after John the Baptist was thrown into prison, they went back to their business. They went back to fishing. And it's in this condition where Jesus finds them, again fishing. And this time he calls them permanently. He says, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And we are told that straight away they leave their nets, and they go and they follow him. And passing on from there, he goes and he sees James and John, the sons of Zebedee, in the ship with their father, mending their nets. Mending their nets, in other words, they're too poor to buy new nets. This is their trade, they're fishermen, and they can't afford to buy new nets, so they have to sit, after they fish all night long, they have to sit all morning, and they have to sew up the holes in their old nets. And he calls them, and immediately they leave the ship and their father, and they follow him. And then he goes throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So we have this calling of the apostles appointed for us this day. And if we can make it a little more personal, maybe, our parish is dedicated to the Holy Apostles. And I think I'm correct whenever I assume that the reason that it was named that, because I actually wasn't here whenever that would happen. That happened before my time. But if I'm not mistaken, the reason that the name of Holy Apostles was taken was because the initial group of people who founded this parish understood their task to be apostolic. The people who founded this parish, and I see some of them nodding, so I'm guessing you're correct. But the people who founded this parish understood that their task was to bring the Orthodox faith to the people in this area. In the same way that the other saints of North America, like St. Herman of Alaska, or St. Innocent, or St. Tikhon, understood that their task was to bring the Orthodox faith to the people of this country, those who founded this parish had understood themselves to have the same task, the same purpose, to bring the Orthodox faith to the people of Oklahoma, people of South Tulsa County. We have to be very specific. And many of you here have come as a result of the work of those people. So we see ourselves maybe in the position of the apostles. We hear ourselves being called in our hearts, called, come and follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. So we understand that if we're going to be apostles, if we're going to be those who are following Christ, then we have to know how to follow him. And we have lots of things told to us about what evangelism is and what it looks like that may not necessarily be correct. So what does it mean? The Lord called the apostles. He called Peter and Andrew and said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And then he calls James and John, and they immediately followed him. And for them, it was a literal event. They got up out of the boat, and they walked. And they went where he went. But what did they do when they got where he was going? They all went to the synagogue. And they listened to Jesus preach. He preached the gospel of the kingdom, and he taught. And he also healed sicknesses and diseases among people. Well, how is it that we follow Christ now? We can still hear him preach. That's what this is. That's why we read this every Sunday. Every time we serve the divine liturgy. Every day. We hear him preach. How do we follow him? If we're going to be modern day apostles, we must follow Christ. And the way that we follow him is by putting into practice what he taught us. That is how we follow Christ. We don't get up and walk behind him physically. We follow him by observing the commandments that he gave. And what are the commandments that he gave to his disciples? It says, seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set down, his disciples came to him. Separately, apart. He went up on a mountain, and the disciples climbed up there after him. They followed him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. We sing this every Sunday. These should not be, even if you don't read the scriptures on a regular basis, which you should, but even if you don't, none of these should sound odd to you. You've heard them all before. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. It may not sound like it to us, but those are the commandments of Christ. In other words, do you want the kingdom of heaven? Do you want to be comforted? Do Do you want to inherit the earth? Do you want to be filled with righteousness? Do you want to obtain mercy? Do you want to see God? Do you want to be called the children of God? Do you want to obtain the kingdom of heaven? Do you want to receive a greater reward than that? We ask ourselves all those questions. And the reason that we're all here this morning is because our answer to those direct questions is yes. In spite of our failures, in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of our sins, the answer is ultimately yes, I want those things. And in order to obtain those things, we must follow Christ. And by following him, we observe his commandments. And his commandments are to be poor in spirit. To be humble, to not think of ourselves more highly than we should. To mourn over our sins. To mourn over the sinful condition of the world. How often do we fail to do that? We get wrapped up in the world, and we get wrapped up in all the worldly things. You know, we get wrapped up in the upcoming presidential election, or we get wrapped up in, you know, whether or not we should intervene in Syria. We get wrapped up over whether or not Iran is pursuing nuclear weapons. Shouldn't we mourn? Shouldn't we weep for the condition of the world? Shouldn't we weep for our own selves, for the part that we play in all of that? The commandments of Christ are to be meek. Again, to be humble, to be self-effacing, to prefer others over ourselves. To hunger and thirst after righteousness. To hunger. One of the great things about fasting on a regular basis is that we learn what it's like to be hungry. If we don't know what it's like to be hungry, then how will we understand a phrase like this, the hunger and thirst after life? But if we know what hunger feels like, and we know how intense our desire for food can become, then we understand that that same intensity exists in our soul, and we must desire righteousness. If the same intensity as the hunger compels us to desire food. The commandment of the Lord is to be merciful, to show mercy to others, to not leap to conclusions about other people, to not assume the worst, to rather always give people the benefit of the doubt, to always exercise mercy, to always be patient, to always be compassionate. The Lord commands us to be pure in heart. You could say that's not just pure in that we only desire that which is correct, that which is right, that which is life-giving, probably. But to be pure in heart in the sense that we don't, that we don't assume other things about the people. To be simple. To be simple. Not to be always conniving or cunning or manipulating. Commandment of the Lord is to be peacemakers. That's a hard one. To be a peacemaker. To strive to make peace between those that we love who are at enmity with each other. To strive to make peace with those who are angry. To be persecuted for righteousness. Another hard one. Nowadays, it doesn't look like we're going to have our heads cut off for wearing crosses around our necks. But how many of us are afraid to cross ourselves before we sit down and eat in a public restaurant? That's what it comes down to. It's a fear of persecution. Fear that others will think badly of us. Sometimes we fear to speak up whenever we hear people saying things about Christianity or hear people saying things about Christ. Fear to speak up. Fear that we're going to be thought of, God knows he's one of them. Can't trust them. They don't think rational. Persecution comes in those ways too. And we are just as afraid of it. The Lord commands us to be persecuted for righteousness' sake, because in so doing we will obtain the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on to say something which is very perplexing to us. Blessed are you, and men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. And he's very careful to say, for my sake. Because we can be persecuted and slandered for all kinds of other reasons, some of which are even true. But he says, for my sake. And then he says, rejoice. And this, I would say, is the real mark of a follower of Christ. This is the real mark of a disciple. To be able to rejoice when we are being persecuted for the name of the Lord. The apostles did this. Reading the Acts of the Apostles, they were arrested for preaching in the name of Christ. And they couldn't find any reason to keep them in jail according to the law, so they beat them with 40 lashes. 39 lashes. And let them go, and they said, don't preach in this name anymore. And what did they do? They went back to the others, and they rejoiced that they had been counted worthy to suffer for the name of the Lord. This is the mark of elders. So if we're going to be apostles, first disciples and then apostles, if we're going to follow Christ, then the example is set for us here in the Beatitudes. These are the things, these are the commandments of Christ. These are the commandments which we are given by the Lord himself to follow. Strive for poverty in spirit. Strive for humility, for purity, for simplicity, for righteousness, for mercy. To not just act these ways, but to become them. Not just to act merciful, but to become merciful. Not just to act humble, but to actually be humble. And I tell you that if we can clothe ourselves with the commandments of Christ and allow ourselves to be transformed by them, then anything that we have to say to the world around us, any kind of apostolic activity that we undertake, will be received. Because what is communicated to the world around us, what is communicated to those around us, what we communicate to each other is not so much words, but a condition of our heart, a condition of our spirit. And if that is that which the world needs and which we need to proclaim to the world, a different way of life, a different way of being, the way that is given to us by Christ, which is the way of eternal peace, to him be all glory, honor, and worship, ages of ages.
Amen.